104.5 The Zone.
In Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man.
This is Squared Circle Radio.
Welcome to the Kevin Owens Show.
The latest news and commentary on the world of professional wrestling.
They make sure you ain't booty.
And now, Squared Circle Radio.
The face that runs the place.
With your main eventers, Jason Martin, David Reed, and Brandon Hagerty.
Good Sunday morning to you. Welcome in. Squared Circle Radio here on 104.5 The Zone. Joined as always by David Reed and Brandon Hagerty. I'm Jason Martin. We are on Twitter collectively as the faction at Zone Wrestling. Follow us there. All three of us in the room together. It can sometimes be a unicorn this time of year. It has been a unicorn, I think, as of late. I know I've done shows with both of you, and you've done shows without me, but the triumvirate is back, at least for the day. I guess you could say New Day is here. Is there a fourth member of New Day now? No, there's a third member of the bar. They kind of added the Big Show to the bar. That's what it is. Because they needed to even that up. And the Big Show needed his 730th turn.
I thought you were breaking news here.
No, I try not to do that. That's not my job. I'm not a journalist. I'm a thought leader. Right?
Where are your thoughts leading us today?
That's a real good question. I'm just glad I have a voice. That's been a little bit tough.
Sound
over
the better
last
than
week,
you did a couple of days ago on the on the Big Six.
Yeah, well, that's content oriented. Titans and Patriots coming up a little bit later. A game that actually matters. I didn't know that this one was going to matter. I'm not picking the Titans. Let me go ahead and hop right on off that ledge right now. But I do think that Dallas gives the team a little bit of hope, gives the city a little bit of hope. Seems like a pretty hot ticket. I inquired and found out, if you want to go, it's about $300 for club seats is about all that's left. So good for Nissan Stadium.
I know they were going, upper levels were going for like $220 earlier this week.
Yeah, well, no you thanks. Know what? My HD TV is going to look perfectly good mm-hmm. at the house. So Brock Lesnar is the thing again, and not just because he went to Saudi Arabia and cashed a paycheck.
He's going to be cashing many more paychecks.
Absolutely. Forward. Universal champion, yet again, beats Braun Strowman at Crown Jewel. They set it up to make it look like Braun never had a chance. He never got any offense in. Corbin hit him before the bell. He takes five F5s, keeps kicking out of them, and the idea is no one's ever done that before, except Roman Reigns has done that before. But it certainly appears like what they're doing with Braun Strowman is the same thing they did with Roman Reigns, where it's he can't beat Brock, he can't beat Brock, he can't beat Brock, and then finally he does beat Brock. I guess they haven't learned anything.
There's also a bit of a report out there that Braun Strowman might be dealing with an injury.
Yeah, well, he clearly is. And they made him run on Monday night on Raw, and it looked awful. Like, he can barely move. Like, he cannot maneuver right now is the way his knee is. So they had him chase somebody around, which, of course, they did. And it looked absolutely terrible. But I think we've talked about this before. I would suggest that Braun Strowman, they may have missed their timing. He was over so red hot 8 months ago. I don't see him being over like that right now.
No, he's definitely not over like that right now. The time to pull the trigger would have been last year, or heck, even 2 years ago, when you had him go up against Brock Lesnar a couple of times. But the constant turning of Braun Strowman, where he, teams up with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler for a little while, becomes a heel for, 2 or 3 months. And then as soon as Reigns comes out and makes his announcement that he has to go get leukemia treatment again, they turn him back to being a babyface. And that just hasn't really worked because, it's just you're not capturing the audience's imagination with that character like you were this time last year.
I just don't know why. I don't think you needed to make him a heel. And I think that at the time, we were a little concerned about making that move, especially as it related to trying to make Roman Reigns some conquering babyface on the other side. And we suggested then that it was not going to work. And now you kind of have to flip the script, even though from everything that I've read, Drew McIntyre is about to become a top babyface. And look, I think that will work. But David and I said last week, he's a great heel. Like, Drew McIntyre's great with what he's doing right now. I don't know that you need to pull the plug right now and turn him over to be a babyface. But the problem is the company went from needing heels to having a Roman Reigns-sized hole and a Dean Ambrose-sized hole on their babyface side. So you had to do something. And it looks like Strowman is sort of going to be in that mix, certainly. McIntyre will probably get to that mix. And the one that I'm hoping for when he finally comes back, and that's going to be a while, is Owens, because I think that's going to be a great babyface character when he comes back.
That guy also had double knee surgery.
Yeah, I'm saying that's going to
be
on
the shelf for a while. Like, the thing is, like, yeah, the Roman Reigns thing is unexpected. It's something that WWE couldn't have planned for, because that's just something that falls out of the sky. But everybody who pays attention for more than 5 minutes a week to WWE programming knew that a Dean Ambrose heel turn was coming. So if you thought that you were going to need to fill a Dean Ambrose-sized hole on the babyface side of your roster, why did you turn a guy like Braun Strowman? Like, you knew you were eventually going to need a pretty high-level babyface. Why would you turn that guy?
It seems just so that the Shield had that third guy to work against, and so Roman Reigns would still be the babyface in the feud. They needed a I'm not saying that's a good reason. I'm saying that's the only logical, if you're trying to find a reason why you would do something like that, that has to be the thought process. And then the other breaking case of emergency move, the one that Vince cannot get away from, is the Brock Lesnar move.
That's the thing to me that is just, it's confounding, is their lack of adaptability when something like this goes down. Granted, this is unforeseen, really, in the history of the business. Well, I say that, but we talked to a guy a couple weeks ago who was about to get a big push and had to get punted on after he was in a car accident.
Right.
But
right.
It seems like everyone just, when something like this happens, everyone just stops and looks at Vince. And the next thing out of his mouth is what they do, without discussing how it's the consequences and how it's actually going to work. It's like everyone in the room stopped and looked at him, and he said, "Let's go with Brock." And here we are once again doing the dance with Brock Lesnar.
Well, and we will have to find out how many shows he's actually going to do, whether or not there's going to be any UFC action at all.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like when Roman Reigns finally beat Brock Lesnar, won the Universal Championship, like, I think everybody on this show, everybody that was watching wrestling, WWE wrestling, from week to week, thought that we had finally solved or had finally gotten through the Brock Lesnar problem.
Yep.
And now Dave Meltzer wrote a piece over at MMA Fighting this week over at SB Nation, kind of breaking down everything surrounding Brock and WWE and UFC and the fight with Cormier. I'll read you just a little bit. Lesnar was at first going to leave pro wrestling after Reigns fulfilled his multi-year quest of beating Lesnar this past April. But when Saudi Arabia flashed a checkbook of more than $40 million per show in Vince McMahon's direction, suddenly the safer world of pro wrestling gave Lesnar a monetary offer you couldn't turn down to do a few more shows, a run that was scheduled to end this past Friday. But with Reigns out, Lesnar got a new offer from McMahon to replace Reigns as his top singles champion. Lesnar agreed secretly to the new deal and won the Pro Wrestling Championship again. The new deal is for multiple shows, but its length of time has been kept secretive. But it is known that Lesnar is scheduled as late as April of next year for WrestleMania. So we're getting Brock, and I'm assuming Brock is Universal Champion until WrestleMania.
Yeah, that would be my indicator as well. And then the question becomes, is it going to be him and Braun? Is it going to be a multi-person match? Is there somebody else waiting in the wings? Maybe McIntyre is over to the extent by then that they could do something with him. There's this weird, it's not even speculation. It's just flat out, maybe this could happen, where Daniel Cormier could somehow be involved in some respects, because, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in detail in the coming segments here about Fox and what's to come with SmackDown, and looking at the ratings trajectory both for the network right now as well as WWE right now, and how there could be an impasse coming there. But I do think that you're right. I don't think that he's going to drop it at the Rumble. I think he's going to have the title going into Mania again. And then the question is going to be, well, is Vince going to make a decision at the last second yet again to keep it on Brock and pay him extra money because he's Brock Lesnar? And I guess Vince continues to believe that he's drawing. I just don't see him drawing anymore. Like, that's been my whole argument. Not that he's not an attraction. I've grown tired of Suplex City, and I've grown tired of most every match he's had since Goldberg at Mania. And, no, you know what? The last great match he had was AJ Styles at Survivor Series last year.
Right.
And he had a great four-way with Braun and Roman and Samoa Joe at SummerSlam.
It sounds like we're getting that Styles match again at this Survivor Series, which will be another really good match.
Yeah, it'll be great.
The thing is, like, we've talked about this. As soon as that TV deal came down with Fox and all the money came down, we started talking about, you know, SmackDown's going to need to be the A show moving forward. Like, to me, Vince McMahon, if he was smart, not calling him dumb, because he's clearly not dumb. He's been doing this for so long. You would be using a guy like Brock Lesnar to make your next Brock Lesnar. But he's not. He just keeps giving money to Brock Lesnar.
Right. Who's the next Brock Lesnar? If you were to look at the roster, who would it be?
Could have been Strowman. It could right now be Drew McIntyre.
Right. I think that's pretty much it, right? At this point, in terms of size, guys, like, I mean, Seth is the guy. Like, Seth's absolutely phenomenal, but Seth doesn't have the size, I think, to be the monster character. It's got to be a guy like a Drew or a Braun Strowman. I would argue that the new Brock Lesnar is Ronda, and that it's not even a male, and that Ronda Rousey is probably the face of the company in their eyes with Roman Reigns out.
And now with Roman Reigns out, I could very much see the main event of WrestleMania being Ronda.
And Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that, I don't know if we talked about it on air, but there has been a number of people that have basically suggested that the reason why Becky won what I think was the best main roster match I've seen all year back at Evolution with Charlotte was so that Charlotte would not have to lose to Ronda as Survivor Series. She can get the title back from Becky in December and then carry it to Mania, where it can be title and title against each other with Ronda and Charlotte in the main event. And that Becky just happened to be the right person at the right time in order to win that match. Honestly, I don't care if that's what it was, because it's made Becky into a star, this whole program has, and that match was a thing of beauty.
Well, if that's the reasoning behind why Becky Lynch won at Evolution, then that goes to show you that WWE management doesn't exactly see Becky Lynch still the way everybody else does.
And
Becky Lynch.
She's a superstar.
She's a superstar.
Absolutely. And she's been one. And what was it, for a year, guys? We were like, who's the most underutilized person on the roster? And we would go through Rusev or Cesaro or whoever it was. And Cesaro's done pretty well with Sheamus. The bar's been a success. It has been. And Rusev Day, you found something there, at least for the short term. But Becky Lynch did nothing for over a year after being the first SmackDown Women's Champion when they first brought out the split titles for the women with the roster split. Becky is, without question, one of the most over people, male or female, on the entire show. Not just on Tuesdays, on Mondays or Tuesdays. But I agree. I don't think they see her in that upper tier. They see Charlotte and they see Ronda above her. And look, they may not be wrong. Charlotte in the TLC match, not the TLC match, the last woman standing match, took her game to a level I've never seen it. Like, that was one of the best performances, probably the best performance of her career, but from just a character and selling standpoint, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. She deserves a ton of credit. This is no slight on Charlotte Flair to say they're not giving Becky Lynch her due.
It's not a slight on Charlotte. It's basically saying that Becky Lynch deserves to be on her level.
Yeah, and I think in everybody's eyes, other than the people that make decisions, she already is.
Because even when we were talking about underutilized people on the SmackDown roster and across the WWE landscape, like, we always talked about Becky Lynch. But I don't know, I don't want to speak for the two of you guys. I didn't even know Becky Lynch would be this good. Like, we all knew she was talented, but I personally didn't know she had this level in her.
No, I'm with you. We've always got levels in us. I don't know if they're high levels or low levels. We'll be back. We'll talk about WWE's ratings levels as they were overseas this week and what that portends for the Fox deal, as FS1 is in transition and Fox Friday Night ratings are strong this fall. We'll be right back. Squared Circle Radio, 104.5 The Zone.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Now, the game's a little bit later on today. It's Titans-Patriots coming up at Nissan Stadium. They should start using this.
They should.
They really should. That's David Reed's voice. You'll hear Brandon Hagenese in a minute. I'm Jason Martin.
It works for the Predators. It worked for the Predators to just start using wrestling music.
Yes, worked very well.
Remember when they stopped using Bobby Roode for the third period and went on that losing streak?
Yep.
And you called it out, too. As soon as they did it, you said, I'm concerned about this on this show. And then they just started losing games.
That hadn't been all that great at Bridgestone Arena so far this year either. So it may be time to bring back the Finn Balor theme.
Well, they went in reverse and went from not using all the wrestling music to then releasing the Happy Preds Day shirt.
Yes.
So they've gone in complete reverse.
Thank you for listening to this show and taking our idea and following through with it.
I feel like we have something to do with that existing. Like, quietly in my head, I'm just like, I don't think that shirt exists without us on Twitter and our listeners on Twitter kind of talking it up a little bit.
We'll keep telling ourselves that.
I 100%
don't destroy my
that,
don't
that
destroy my dream. Just don't destroy my dream. I
need this
believe.
Power. Real or perceived, Brandon. I need this power.
Triple H is not going to be playing the game.
For a while,
yeah.
Man. That
torn pec, doing the Harley Race bump over the top that, of course, he's done for his whole career. But at his age.
That picture, man. The picture that he posted on social media is gnarly.
Do you realize how tough that dude is to get through that match? After that happened?
Well, I mean, we kind of already knew how tough he was considering he's blown two quads and gotten two matches.
I mean, people can talk about Triple H in a negative way all they want. But that dude cares about his performance and about the company. Like, I mean, he is going to make sure that he does all he can. I mean, he was trying to get Kane over the top rope later on. He had to use his offhand. He couldn't even throw a clothesline. He couldn't take a whip from The Undertaker on the floor. It was, and I saw it in GIF form because I still have not watched Crown Jewel. I don't think anybody in this room has actually watched Crown Jewel.
Nope.
But the bad thing here, honestly, is Batista's still not going to get this match probably that he wanted. Maybe he is. Maybe you come back from the torn pec the way John Cena did. But it seems more likely that we're probably going to get Batista and Randy Orton at WrestleMania as a result of this, which it's fine, but Orton just bores the tears off me. At this stage, maybe they could do something good and do some kind of an evolution angle that would still work. And Triple H can be involved and Rick can be involved and maybe it's good.
Yeah, but it's also, I mean, at the end of the day, it's disappointing because you know Batista wanted one match and one match only, and that was Triple H. Now, I don't have any faith that match would have been anything special because I don't think that as good as Triple H was in like 2013-ish, like, you remember that WrestleMania match that he had with Daniel Bryan that was one of the better matches that Triple H has ever wrestled? 5 years later, Triple H is nowhere near that level. Like, he still looks like $1 million. He still keeps himself in tremendous shape. But I didn't see the entire match with DX and the Brothers of Destruction at Crown Jewel, but I saw large stretches of it on Twitter. That thing looked like a mess.
The mask spot's pretty funny. That's the Titus O'Neil moment of of Crown Jewel, is pulling Kane's mask off, thinking that that's real hair, and not realizing that not only are you bald, John, Glenn Jacobs has been bald since like 96.
But like somehow Shawn Michaels, having taken what 7 or 8 years off, was still the best worker in that ring at Crown Jewel.
And for some reason did a moonsault to the floor at his
age. Nobody caught him.
Nah, my man it was worse than a Charlotte Phoenix splash, which we've still yet to see actually make contact with anybody.
But at least Charlotte usually lands her on her feet on that thing. So it's not that terrible.
But I agree with you. I feel bad for Batista just because, man, he was trying to get this match. He's been trying to get this match for like a year. They were not returning his phone calls earlier this year.
He's been politicking for this match for like 2 years. On Twitter. And
we railed against it. It was just like, this dude's a star. Like, people know him in Hollywood now because of Guardians. And I mean, he was in Blade Runner, which, you know, five people saw. And there were other things that he's done as well. And they couldn't return his phone calls. And now, okay, now we're going to do this. They do the thing at SmackDown 1000, which is really good. And then Triple H rips his pec halfway off his body.
Now, I will say, if anybody's going to make it back in time for WrestleMania off of a torn pec, it's going to be Triple H.
Or John Cena.
Or John Cena, whose hair is even worse now.
Yeah. I don't know how.
John Cena's hair is getting longer.
My man.
He's now spiking it.
He's NashvilleHairDoctor.com spokesman John Cena at this point.
In line to be the next Captain America? Did I read that somewhere this week?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that news.
I'm going to hard pass on that reboot.
I knew Chris Evans was moving on, but... All right, so Friday night, I'm looking at the schedule for a couple of days ago on Fox. Friday night at 7, Last Man Standing, which, of course, is the Tim Allen show that was on ABC for a long, long time, got
canceled.
Which
they went out of their way to revive.
Because they knew what most of America did, which is Last Man Standing's problem was all oriented by media conglomerates and networks that assumed because it's slanted conservative that no one would watch it because they didn't like the show. So they bring Last Man Standing back and all the, and it skews older. It's an older audience. It's like Blue Bloods. Blue Bloods was on CBS forever. I never watched a single episode of it, but if you were over 50, you and your Sanka sat down on Friday nights and watched that thing relentlessly.
You just described the entire CBS lineup.
Yeah, that's true.
Some Blue Bloods.
I mean, Dave, you're a 60-year-old at heart and have been since before I knew you.
It's a great show. It's got anything with Tom Selleck in it, I'm watching.
Okay, well, that's something we can talk about off air, but...
And some Donnie Wahlberg.
So they bring Last Man Standing in because ABC canceled it, and it was doing well, but they canceled it anyway. And guess what Last Man Standing's doing now on Fox? Well, a four-letter word that rhymes with bell. And so Last Man Standing is doing well. The Cool Kids is another show about old people in like a retirement community. I can't even remember who's in it because I'm not the target audience for this show. The Cool Kids is doing well. And then you got Gordon Ramsay and Hell's Kitchen at 8 o'clock. And this is Central
Time. That
show's
still on the air?
Yeah.
I was a Hell's Kitchen fan like 12 years ago.
So the reason I mention this is because Friday Night Fox lineup is doing gangbusters this fall. Even as many other shows have dropped off a cliff, and there are a lot of them being canceled really early this season, Fox is doing great. They're doing over 4 million viewers usually on Friday nights, which is not a great television night anyway, and it's a night that has not been a good sitcom night since TGIF.
Yeah.
And when I mean TGIF, I mean early TGIF, like Family Matters, Full House, Just the 10 of Us, that level. So we know what SmackDown and Raw generally do. Somewhere in the threes.
Million.
Somewhere in the threes. You would assume, and this Fox picked up WWE programming, picked up SmackDown to improve ratings on Friday nights, to give them numbers that they would not have otherwise. Because WWE has largely been said to be DVR proof and that people want to watch it live. That doesn't seem to be the case as much anymore. But if you look at the ratings right now, yes, I know it's football season. Do you really think that WWE is going to outdo the Friday night lineup we've been discussing here based on the ratings numbers when they haven't hit a 4 in I don't know how long? That's a problem if you're WWE, because let me tell you what looks really bad. Fox picks you up and you're going to be on Big Fox. Your ratings don't eclipse what they already have, and so they shuttle you off to that cable network, FS1. That's just a bad optic look, even though there's nothing wrong with being on FS1, except it's in less homes than USA, and it's a network that seems to have incredible difficulties getting anyone to watch anything other than live college football.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's absolutely correct. I mean... Which is why, you know, if you were WWE, you should have been planning for this moving forward. You should have, as soon as Vince McMahon and others put their signatures on a contract, you should have then started building stars. And, you know, maybe you have one in Ronda Rousey. I assume she's going to end up on SmackDown on Fox next year. Now Roman Reigns is out, and you're kind of scrambling. Brock Lesnar's not going to show up week to week on SmackDown on Fox.
Yeah, you'd have to pay him too much to do that.
Like right now, 6 months ago, when you signed this deal, you should have been making those, I don't know what WWE does now. Like if you think star power is going to get you to 5 million people, then you're going to need star power because you can't just keep showing up with threes. And like you said, Jason, you're going to get shuffled off to FS1 and basically purgatory.
This is what the problem is, Dave, at least as I see it. It is WWE hasn't really created a big star since Cena. that's really the last guy that they created that didn't just organically them luck into, even if they tried to throw it under the rug like the Daniel Bryan thing or maybe CM Punk or somebody like that. Most times they can ride with, all right, we've got Steve Austin, we've got The Rock, we've got Triple H, we've got The Undertaker, we're in good shape. We got Mick Foley, we got all this, we got, you know, the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian blowing up and having all these matches. They're on fire in 2000 and 2001. You can't plan for retirements and injuries and things like that with Roman Reigns. But when you've got a TV deal that has a start date and you know that it's in September or October of the following year, the next however many months that you have before that, you know what's coming. This isn't like a retirement or an injury. You are well aware of where you need to be creatively and from a business standpoint when that show starts next year. And what they have chosen to do, really other than Ronda, is not a whole heck of a lot to create superstars.
Well, you go back to that, you were just running down the list of Attitude Era stars. WWE probably also didn't see Stone Cold Steve Austin stepping away for more than a year to deal with a neck injury coming.
Right.
That's your biggest star in the entire company, and he just goes away for a year. And then you proceed to have your best year ever business-wise because you had guys like Triple H and The Rock ready to step up.
I mean, those two guys carried the company in the main event, and then you had a fantastic mid-card with people that sold tickets that were tag teams, intercontinental side. You had depth to that roster, and you had a creative show that people started to want to see. And I don't sense that. Right now, I think talent, you have talent.
Talent-wise,
absolutely.
Talent-wise, they have the best depth they've ever had.
Yes.
It's just that there's no reason to buy into, honestly, 85, 90% of the characters
there
on television.
There are so many guys in WWE right now that simply don't matter. They're just dudes on a show that go have wrestling matches. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. There is nothing about them, unless you just happen to like them yourself, that would make you want to go out of your way to see them, to buy their merchandise, or to tune in, certainly, to watch them on a Friday night.
If this were 1988 and not 2018, what they would do is they would circle that date and start booking backwards.
Yeah.
To have a star in place, an angle in place, storylines in place for when that rolls over to Fox. My question is, from an optics standpoint, as far as the business of professional wrestling goes, are you better off to start that thing on FS1, see what the numbers are, and then move it to Fox? Because I'm like you, if it starts out on Fox and then gets relegated into FS1, that's a bad look.
It's a demotion in the public. It doesn't look good at all. I've got one suggestion. We'll take a break. On the other side, I'll throw that out and see if you guys like it. We'll continue to sort of brain jam this because this is the story. Yes, Survivor Series is in 2 weeks, and we'll talk about that before the end of the show. And we'll talk about Shane McMahon and what they're doing there as well.
Shane McMahon is apparently the best in the world at something.
I guess. We'll be right back. Squared Circle Radio, 104.5 The Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Adam Cole, the best pro wrestler on the planet, and you're listening to the best wrestling talk anywhere. This is Squared Circle Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
Shock the system.
Welcome back. Squared Circle Radio, 104.5 The Zone. I feel like we missed an opportunity to put like Perry Saturn's music underneath Adam Cole.
Get this thing and just have that live in perpetuity.
Absolutely.
There's a reason that's dry.
We love Adam Cole. Guy's a superstar. Wish he was about 4 inches taller. He'd be perfect for WWE's size. Let me throw out this idea. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. If I'm going to SmackDown and I want to, quote, shock the system, unquote, and change the game, I call up Cody and I call up the Young Bucks. And I say, what's going to take to get you guys? What's going to take to get you guys? And then for the 9 months before SmackDown starts, do whatever you want. Have the shows. We'll even give you cash infusions under the table. This news is not going to get out. We'll do whatever it is that we need. You guys can have shows. You can go to Japan. Go ahead and make as big of stars as you can. Do interviews with Sports Illustrated and Bleacher Report and all this kind of stuff. And then a month before the SmackDown launch, we actually pull the trigger on this, and it happens. Like I said, it's not going to happen. But if it's me, that's something I seriously consider, because you have the money to go get those guys.
Now, what I was going to say in the last segment, WWE's usual, their usual way of handling things like that. Like, you can't, if you can't build a star yourself, you go buy someone else's star. Like, that's kind of what WWE has done for the majority of the last 10 to 12 years. And there was a report this week that there were three New Japan wrestlers that WWE recently sent offers to. One of them was Naito.
Mm-hmm.
We know it was Naito because it was. He said it was Naito, and he said he turned it down. The other two guys have not been identified yet, but I think Meltzer said in the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week that those two gentlemen did not turn it down out of hand.
Well, New Japan, one story that's been sort of underreported, not Meltzer's done a good job of this, but a lot of people have not paid attention to it, is that New Japan's in a bit of a problem right now.
They have new management.
They have new management that's unpopular amongst the talent, and pretty much the entire roster has voiced their frustration, and all of a sudden it seems like the walls could be crumbling down if they don't fix it. People are asking for, you know, where else can I work and all these things. So if you're trying to pilfer talent from New Japan, this would be a good time to do it. I'm glad Naito turned him down, because they wouldn't know what to do with Naito over here.
Honestly, they wouldn't know what to do with most of those guys.
Like, Okada should never come here.
No.
He did that once. It should never happen again. Guys like Tanahashi, what are they going to do with Ishii? You know, they're not going to know what to do with those guys. But Cody and the Bucks and Kenny Omega and those guys that are selling out at Hot Topic constantly, than your own main roster shirts, selling.
A total off-topic thing, but speaking of the Young Bucks and Kenny and Cody, did you see those pictures from the Jericho cruise?
I did not.
I guess it was the Bullet Club versus the Alpha Club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, on one, it was like a six-man tag, but basically Jericho teamed up with the Bucks, and Jericho wore the Bucks gear, and that means tight leather pants and no shirt.
Oh, yep. No.
My
no
man,
good, man.
My man Jericho needs to get back on that DDP yoga.
I'll take your idea, Jason. I'll move it one step further. You hold them off until that first episode of SmackDown on Fox.
And you let them invade the show?
Yep, absolutely.
Just in the show, like Nexus NXT. Destroying John Cena? Nexus.
NXT or NWO all over again.
The problem is, in 2018, how do you keep it under wraps?
I don't think you can.
I think you can. I honestly think you can. But it starts with guys not canceling dates and not, I mean, take a booking in December that you're going to know you're going to have to cancel at some point. But don't stop taking dates for guys like that. That's the way a lot of this stuff gets out.
I mean, I agree with you. I think we were saying earlier, if it was 1988, you would reverse book. If it was 1988, you would do this under cloak and dagger. No one would know, and you would just break the internet in half with those guys showing up. And I would love to think that that's possible. But to Brandon's point, if you're not sitting around making stars right now, then you better go find somebody that's made themselves a star. And in this case, you don't have to go to some organization and talk them out of it. You don't have to try and lure them away. They are the stars, mm-hmm. and they are the promoters. So all you have to do is make an offer that's enticing enough. And basically, at this stage, if I'm WWE, and I, like I said, it won't happen this way, I tell them, we're pushing you to the moon. You guys are in control of what's going on. Matt Hardy style with the Final Deletion. Just let them come in and run their side of it and see what happens. And, of course, you have to intersperse your own thing. Vince is not going to do that. But if it's me and you want to make an impact, that's what you do.
Now, you don't actually, like, what it boils down to is creative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like lack thereof.
It shouldn't be that difficult to make a star. Like, as long as the person has the talent, has the chops to do it, like, if you're writing them good stories, like, if you're not writing their promos and letting them handle those sorts of things, like, it shouldn't be this difficult to make a star. Like, if you want to stretch this analogy out to scripted television, Like, how many times, like, Jason, you're the TV guy here. How many times does a television show just show up with absolutely no expectations and blow people away because it's good? Yeah. It doesn't have to have, you know, some big name movie star attached to it. As long as the writing is good, as long as the actors involved are good, they don't have to be big names. People are still going to watch.
They're
going to
become big names because you've given them content around it. I mean, if you want to look at a motion picture example, look at something like Get Out that had no one in it that people really had any real pull to. Maybe you knew who, you know, Lil Rel was or something, but there weren't gigantic stars in that film.
Look at like a Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Like Chadwick Boseman's not some massive movie star when you put him in Black Panther.
Now, you had Marvel, and that certainly helps.
Yeah, exactly.
You. Get Out. The reason
just
I
like
use
you have the WWE brand.
Absolutely,
that help you.
Absolutely.
And Stephanie McMahon claims should be bigger than Disney one day.
The problem is that WWE too often feels like it's a DC movie and not a Marvel movie. And DC is good about one out of every five times. And Marvel, you kind of know what you're
being
get.
A bit kind there.
Well, I mean, I saw Teen Titans go to the movies this week. It was pretty good. Lego Batman was pretty good. When they're not live action. Those DC movies seem to be all right. Wonder Woman's
well,
sort of the
that
exception.
Would fit in. That would fit into to Stephanie McMahon's vision. WWE's going to go animated. Wait a minute. They've already done that, and it's horrible.
Camp WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't
and
work
various
out.
Other things. Road Stories, isn't that partly animated, too?
They do have, like, the deal where they
story
tell
time.
The old stories.
Story
yeah, that's
time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, too. And I think Fox is going to want a star who is like a John Cena, who can go out there and have crossover success and help them cross-promote the other programming that's going on along the Fox networks.
They want somebody who can go banter with Michael Strahan on Thursday nights during the NFL season and people care.
Yeah.
And I think that in WWE's mind, somebody like The Miz is probably the guy that they're thinking about because he has shown, and it looks like he's about to turn babyface. If you watch SmackDown this week, and if you look at how likable he is on his show, which I've never watched, but I've heard this from everybody, how likable both he and Maurice are. I'm looking at you, Dave, because you can tell me how likable they are.
Whoever's telling you that is a poor judge of character.
Miz
is one episode that you watch, David.
But I mean, Miz goes on ESPN, and he does some things like that, and he does have the media chops to go out there and handle that. I'm not saying that I would build the company around Miz. I'm saying I bet you they are thinking very highly about what they're going to do with Miz on SmackDown. But I'm sticking with my guns. I think you give Matt and Nick Jackson and Cody and Kenny Omega whatever the hell it is that they need to come in and just totally uproot and change your show.
Like you said, all it is a lot of money and a lot of control.
That's right. We have one more segment. And we'll be right back to do that next. It's Squared Circle Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. You've got it locked on the best wrestling talk anywhere. Squared Circle Radio on 104.5 The Zone. Believe that.
What a series of matches in 96 Roman Reigns had with Rey. Tremendous stuff. This will never get old. I'm just going to let this play for the next 8-9 minutes here on the show. This is Squared Circle Radio, 104.5 The Zone. David Reed, Brandon Hagney with me. I'm Jason Martin. Brandon's at Hag Haney. David's at David Reed Radio. I'm at J Mart Zone. We are at Zone Wrestling. We're still not talking about Crown Jewel. Survivor Series is coming up in a couple of weeks. Stephanie is going to be on Raw tomorrow night along with Brock Lesnar, and there's only one reason for that. It's because we're about to get the Stephanie versus Shane McMahon, who has supremacy at Survivor Series thing all over again, because we're about to see dudes and chicks wearing bad red and blue t-shirts over their gear like Nia Jax did last year.
And all
it's about to happen
they
again.
They have more allegiance to their brand than they do anything
this
else.
This is the one night of the year when Raw and SmackDown superstars compete against one another.
Except you just had an entire tournament in Crown Jewel that was Raw versus SmackDown.
Yes.
Yeah. But Shane McMahon, though, should not have to go through Survivor Series to have bragging rights, because I was under the impression he's the best in the world.
I mean, as many times as they promoted best in the world going into that World Cup tournament and then him showing up at the end, and the idea apparently, as original as this is that Shane McMahon is going to be a heel authority figure on SmackDown, and it's going to be a gradual thing, and according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week, Shane is going to be oblivious to the fact that everyone hates him, and he's going to pretend like he's a babyface and act like he's over while he's getting booed out of the building. Is kind of how they're planning on playing this.
Look, Chris Jericho couldn't pull that off.
Yeah.
So what do we think Shane McMahon's going to do with it?
The one thing that was valuable about Shane McMahon.
Wear cold Jordans?
No.
He was likable. Like he
That's
was,
it. That's it.
He was the member of the family that you didn't have a problem with.
He came out and he said, "What up, insert town here." Got a pop. Probably missed a few lines on his promo. Sweated a lot.
Turned red.
And then walked to the back.
Danced.
Yeah, danced.
Wore Jordans.
Wore pretty nice Jays on a pretty regular basis. Think he's got the money to handle that. And now you're going to make him a heel. And the problem with making him a heel is everybody's a heel in WWE. I think on Monday night, two baby faces won in very short matches, one of them with a really bad finish. It has gone from being a babyface territory that wants you to feel good about yourself leaving shows to a heel territory where it's all about getting heat. I think Brian Alvarez wrote about this week, but he's railed about it for a while, that WWE used to be a babyface territory. We talked about that before in terms of WrestleMania and all the rewards for the fans. It's now all about getting heat, no matter what, at the expense of every babyface that looks like an idiot. It's all about finding ways to get heat, like the deal where Natty had Jim the Anvil Neidhart's sunglasses on Monday night that she had given to, that he had given to her a long time ago, and of course he passed away, her father, and they smashed him by the end of the match. And it was Ruby Riott that did it, I believe, and it was a 17-minute match. 17-minute match, six-woman match or tag match that went through two commercial breaks. You know what the finish was? She broke those sunglasses. Natty hit her knees and started crying, and everyone else just went to the back. We watched a 17-minute match where Natty crying was the finish, and they just didn't even call it. It was just like, all right, it's over.
My God.
Exactly.
Also, poor Natty, dude. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, why would you not let her wear those glasses forever? Just wear them every week and start giving them out like Brett used to, like give out versions of them or whatever. Like, again, to create stars, you need great baby faces. You need the baby faces because they're going to be the stars that sell merchandise for you and the ones that the kids are going to love. And then you need great heels against them that are underhanded and cheat all the time because even though they could win, they always find ways to take the low road anyway. And instead, WWE finds a way to make the heels, and we have lamented this for years, like dating back to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and a lot of other guys. The promos that make the most sense in WWE 95% of the time are the heels speaking truth on the microphone. It's hard to get heat in a world like that. It really is. And, of course, they're using Roman Reigns now to push Dean Ambrose, which, I mean, that's, I guess that's all right, except I don't know why Dean would be using that, even as a heel.
The almost basic crux of professional wrestling for so long has been eventually the babyface will prevail. Like, yeah, the heel is going to control most of the match, but then the babyface is going to prevail, and it's going to take you, you're going to leave the arena feeling good about yourself and feeling good that good just prevailed over evil. And that's just not happening in WWE. And like you would think that Vince McMahon, who is a guy who's been doing this for 40 years, Vince McMahon has been promoting professional wrestling. To now in your 70s, basically go against everything that professional wrestling has been for its entire history is ludicrous.
And, I mean, heels held champions in most other promotions most of the time. You go back to Jim Crockett or Memphis, it would
but
be
for
a
the
heel.
Most part, like, the heel would hold the championship for a long time specifically to be...
Correct.
To eventually be fed to a baby.
Correct. Except in WWF, where Hogan held it for years, and babyface has held that title more often. And then there was a shift, I think, during the Attitude Era where Austin wasn't carrying it very often. He was chasing it because he was the greatest chaser we've ever seen because everybody felt like they were Steve Austin in the blue blood versus the white collar and everything else. Now, it just seems like heels carry the title. They try to get them heat in ways that doesn't work, and the babies end up looking like idiots. They end up being outsmarted by the heels, which is something that should never happen All of these things just contribute to how are you supposed to get a babyface over. They've tried to get Roman Reigns over for, what, 4.5 years? And what eventually got him over
was cancer.
We know what that is.
Well, I mean, listen, they probably could have gotten Roman Reigns over if maybe, I don't know, you would have had him beat Brock Lesnar once in the 14 times that they faced off before you actually had him beat him.
Or if you'd just gone all the way with Daniel Bryan for a while and not let Roman just run him over in the Royal Rumble and then beat him in Memphis at Fastlane and upset the crowd at a time where they immediately saw that guy as a corporate guy and Daniel Bryan is their guy, and they never forgave Roman Reigns because they were really booing WWE and not Roman Reigns.
And two, when you put it on a guy like Brock Lesnar, who is he was going to get the heat, but you never the unnatural obsession that Vince McMahon has with Brock Lesnar borders on the profane. I don't know what it is about this guy.
It's quite a statement.
Vince McMahon just absolutely salivates over. Like, I'm so over Brock Lesnar at this point.
That guy.
I don't even want to tune him to watch Braun beat him for the title. I just want him to go away.
Those two have not had a good match yet either.
We're getting close to 7 years on this second run of Brock Lesnar.
That does not feel like it's been that long.
Oh,
when he came back against Cena, is that when it was? Extreme Rules?
Extreme Rules. It was like the night after WrestleMania in 2012.
It's a 7-year itch that you can't scratch.
That is kind of crazy. And boy, has he done a lot in terms of like beat The Undertaker and ended the streak. They strapped a more than half decade rocket to that guy. How many losses has he had in that time frame? He lost a few early when they weren't sure, but after he beat The Undertaker, he really hadn't lost a whole lot of matches.
He lost to Triple H at a SummerSlam.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, he lost to H, but, I mean, everybody loses to H. Except his Peck. His Peck beat him. We'll see you next week. Titans, Patriots coming up later. Stick with us on Titans Radio. This is 104.5 The Zone.